Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Guys can get up and join us this morning. And I tell you what, I must admit, a lot of times we try to just be incognito underneath the radar and act like we're really not taping. But today I think we're going to actually just come out and admit it. We actually have to tape the show on Saturday night, so it's actually like 9 o'clock on Saturday night. And I tell you what, it's dedication. When you have two of the best racing voices around that'll join you on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock, taken away from their nap time on the couch, if you will. We're going to talk about IndyCar, guys, here for about 30 minutes. And I know, guys, I know it's March Madness. We got 90 minutes of March Madness. Myself and $2 Bill Josh and Gene Walker from Indiana Talks going to break down all the games. And like I said, we're taping tonight on Friday, and there's been some upsets. Georgetown's one of them. Just got upset by Florida Gulf. Get into that. Wisconsin got beat today. IU wins. Goes on. The number one seed goes on. I tell you what, it's been a crazy couple days in basketball, especially when you look at Harvard finally winning an NCAA game as well. Well, guys, we're going to jump right into this because I promised these guys I'd keep them to 30 minutes. We're going to take our first break here in about 28 minutes from now, so you guys are good to go. So joining us now is I wanted to give you guys some of the Snow White and Seven Dwarfs nicknames. Sleepy and
no, you won't. That ain't happening. Hey, Tom, did you hear that great big kaboom in the background? Did you hear that?
I heard it.
My bracket's blowing up. I wish you would have told me anything like that. I quit March Madness already.
Well, I'll tell you what. You quit before you even started because we offered you an official balanced March Madness bracket. You turned us down, so you obviously got a better offer. And you could have even did two brackets with us. Your son did one with us. So I'm just saying everybody's brackets are blowing up. So the good thing about that, and we'll get into a lot of the March Madness talk here after the racing segment, but the good thing about that is when everybody's bracket busts at the same time, like what happened last night with New Mexico and perhaps just happened today with Georgetown, that doesn't change your point structure too much in actual winning of your bracket challenges. So if you've made good picks along the way, and you've kind of ran with the crowd a little bit, I always, every year, I do a upset bracket and I do a regular conservative bracket. So, sometimes I do good, sometimes I don't. What sometimes usually happens with me is the two worlds collide. So
my bracket doesn't, so
I always end up screwing everything up. Cliff Tanner, have you filled any brackets out this year?
Oh man, I've got like six of them, and I got to tell you, probably four of the six I had Georgetown going to the Final Four, buddy. So and New Mexico I had in the Sweet 16. So I'm pretty much done after going 7-8 yesterday. Boom, gone.
I'll tell you what, it's just been one of those days, one of those weeks. And I appreciate you guys joining us. As I said, we're taping this on Friday night. I think I said a different day or in my opening dialogue, but it's definitely Friday night. It's been one of those things. I tell you what, I've had so many things coming at me at one time, and And I thought, and you guys had something going on. You said, well, we've got a tape this week, and I meant to get it done earlier. So I appreciate it, guys, because we're going to talk some IndyCar. It is IndyCar opening weekend in St. Petersburg, boys. Those IndyCars are ready to go, and I tell you what, almost no surprises. Field kind of close. Records to fall, guys. We'll start with you, Cliff. IndyCar, St. Petersburg. What are some of the highlights, some of the keys to this race, and what are some of the things we've got to look for, and what are the keys that we're going to look for from particular drivers in this race?
Well, again, you know, like we talked about last week, this is one of the, you know, it's a tough course in some of those hairpin turns going around, but I got to tell you, you know, one that kind of did surprise me in practice is Simona the silver. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Brazilian chick, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. third fastest in practice today, man. I was kind of impressed with that. But, you know, of course, you got Will Power and Hunter Ray, Ryan Hunter Ray, you know, right there. And, you know, Castroneves is real good here. Kanaan's good here. I'm telling you, man, it's all about who's going to be able to pass the best and get that thing running. But I'm telling you, you know, St. Petersburg, like I said before, it's just a great track, and it's got some nice straightaways that you can get in and get some passes done. So it's going to be an interesting race, as always.
Well, absolutely. And I tell you, we're going to get into a lot of this. And this, I think, is going to be the year for a lot of the young drivers to finally make their name, maybe, if you will. We've got a new car out there. We're interested to see how that happens. And I guess, Kenny, this next question would be more for you. Firestone in the new tires with the new car. The way I understand it, has a new tire option for IndyCar. What I want you to do is walk me through the Firestone tires and how this is going to fit into the. Obviously, we have more races, and we have different courses. Obviously, we talked about them going back to Pocono earlier on in the season here. So, talk with me a little bit about Firestone, the relationship with IndyCar, and it's been a bit strained here recently. What has Firestone done to get back on track with IndyCar?
Well, I think Firestone, they've been around racing, oh, golly, since Christ was a sophomore in high school. You know, and then they got out of IndyCar for quite a while. And wasn't it Tony Stewart who stirred up the pot, him and A.J. Foyt, and got Firestone kind of back in IndyCar not all that long ago? The Firestone engineers are pretty sharp. And they go to the racetracks long before the race cars do and look at the race course, whether it's a street course, a regular road course, or Pocono, and they take a look at the surface, see how rough it is, see how old it is, see how weathered it is, and then take some of the notes that they've had if they've raced there before and work up some compounds and stuff for the tires. So I don't think you're going to have any real tire problems per se. The only challenges are going to be the compounds choices that the teams have. And, you know, we go back to that same thing we talk about just about every race anymore is communication between the driver and the crew chief, and what kind of feel they're looking for, and what kind of grip they're expecting, and do they want better grip going in? They want better grip coming out. The downforce is a huge thing with Indy cars, but as far as Firestone goes, they're going to put out a quality product, and you're not going to see any tire gate like you did for NASCAR back 5 or 6 years ago down in Indy. It just won't happen. Firestone's too quality of a company for that to happen.
Well, and I do know, and I'm not really up on all the rules as far as the tech rules, but I know the 2013 rulebook tweak provided teams with some additional strategy options, if you will, during the three rounds of qualifications there at St. Petersburg as well. And we know, guys, that Will Power got the pole. Obviously, right there with him was Ryan Hunter Ray. We talked a little bit about that on the text, Cliff, earlier. And, you know, in all, 18 of the 24 drivers, Cliff, were within 1 second of Power. His best lap was 0.07 of a second off his pole winning speed of 101.3727. That was last March. So, really, how important is the pole in this race? I look at speeds like that, and you look at them being that close. It looks to me like that these cars are doing their job, and we're gonna see some very competitive racing this year, Cliff.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, you said it best. I mean, you got some of them young guns that got some experience under there. But yeah, anytime really, if you want to get right down to it, I mean, same thing with Formula One. When you do a lot of road courses like that, pole is very, very important. I mean, even, you know, at NASCAR or some of the other series. And that gives you an advantage, but you still got to drive smart. You got to be smart. And, you know, when you're talking about willpower, you know, the guy's just amazing. But we're going to see another battle, I think, for points with those two guys being, you know, in the top five easily. But, you know, willpower, I think, is ready to finally win a championship. And he's gonna do his best to make his mark and start up with a win and get on a roll. I mean, we've seen him last year, I think he won three or four races in a row. And then a little bit later, he won two or three again. So, I mean, the guy's amazing. But I think the pole is very important because you got to be up front. I mean, you know, it's hard to pass sometimes on a road course. And that's what I'm saying. That's one of the keys. The better you can pass, the quicker you're going to get to the front, the better chance you got to win in this race, period.
Well, absolutely. And I tell you what, one of the other exciting series that I like to talk about, especially when we're talking about IndyCar, is the Indy Lights and also the Pro Mazda series. And we look at those Pro Mazda series, they're really getting a lot of sponsorships, and Allied Building Products has expanded its partnership and title race sponsorship for 2013 with Anderson Promotion Promoters of the Pro Mazda Championship Series. Kenny, talk with us a little bit about that Indy Lights car, the Indy car, and the Pro Mazda car.
Okay, I'll tell you what I know about them. All right, now what else do you want to know about them? I got a question about them. I have not studied either one of those two series at all. I apologize. I couldn't tell you other than that, you know, we did talk about this on our show this week, though. I'll throw this at you. I think the way they do it is very, very good. The NHRA and the Indy Racing League don't throw people into the big show right away. And I think that's very important for safety. I think that's very important for competitive racing. They make them come up through the Mazda series, which we've seen run down at Raceway Park a couple times. When I first saw them, I kind of snickered, but then after I watched them, it's not a bad little series. They're pretty competitive. It's a good learning series. The cars are quick. They're light. They're hard to handle. You learn the twitchiness of the things. And then you move up to Indy Lights, or which are just downpowered Indy cars with less downforce and stuff. And you've got to be on top of the wheel all the time before they let you get into the big show and stuff. And you're under the watchful eye of the officials all the time in both the Mazda series and the Indy Lights series before you get into IndyCar. So I don't know much about the technical aspects of them, so I do apologize for that. But I do like the way they've got that structure. So the Kenny Bars and the Cliff Tanners who suddenly run into a bunch of money and want to go IndyCar racing can't do it without earning their way up through the chain of command.
Right, absolutely, and that is one of the things that we strive to do here on The Balance every year is to expand a little bit of our conversation past the IndyCar, and obviously, I mean, we're going to be talking about Indy Lights and the Pro Mazda, and Gabby Chavs in the number 7 car doing great in the practice laps there out there in St. Petersburg as well. Well, another great day in Indianapolis if you're a race fan. And just those little things come together and it just lets us know that we're getting that much closer to the Indianapolis 500. Today, meaning Friday, they raise the flags at IMS. Now, guys, those of you that maybe aren't huge IndyCar fans or don't live in Indianapolis might think that that's a minor deal, but that's a huge deal because that means that race season is right around the corner and IMS is open for business. So as they open up for business this year, guys, what are some of the predictions that we're going to look forward to going into the Indianapolis 500, which is just a short time away?
Cliff? I predict that the flags are going to be frozen stiff in about 24 hours.
You are right about that. You are absolutely right about that. I cannot believe we're the third day into spring here, and they're calling for 2 to 5 inches here in the Indianapolis metro area. Come on, Mother Nature. Get it right.
They freeze straight out like the American flag on the moon. That would be cool.
Well, my question is, did they see the shadow today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that stupid groundhog didn't do a very good job. Maybe the flags would do better.
Exactly. Well, you know, there's those that say that flag on the moon really doesn't exist anyway. So,
yeah, we're not going to go there. What was the question, Tom? We'll answer that.
Other conspiracies, guys. Let's talk about some predictions real quickly. I promised you that I'd keep you guys to 30 minutes. I want to talk a little bit about the NASCAR boys as well. But IndyCar is here. It starts its race tomorrow, meaning Sunday, in St. Petersburg. Excited, excited, excited to see the IndyCars go in one of my favorite race series to go with. So let's talk about some of our predictions, guys. If we look at the field of the very talented drivers, obviously we talked about Ryan Hunter-Reay, Will Power, but who do you think has a legitimate shot? Obviously a lot can change between now and the end of the series, but who do you think it'll be? I think this year the series championship will be Scott Dixon. Thoughts, Cliff?
You know what? I was going to say he's going to be in the top five, but I got to tell you, the two guys I think are going to make an impressive run and surprise a lot of people, and one is pretty solid. One's probably just more hope, but I got to tell you, the one I think that's going to do the best is going to be James Hinchcliffe. Look out for him. And Charlie Kimball, if he can get some good cars, I think he's going to do pretty decent this year. But Scott Dixon, he's hungry. He's ready to win one. I have no doubt about that. But again, like you said, Will Power, Hunter-Reay is going to be there. And I can guarantee you Frank Keating is going to be, after last year, starting out so poorly, he's going to be looking to get another championship.
Well, he's not going to have his favorite cheerleader on the sides there. So I don't know if that's going to have any effect on it or not. I hear he's dating Danica Patrick.
Well, you know, how sad is that? Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
How sad is that? Is the reason they're getting divorced is because she's thinking about running for Congress. How weird is that?
Well, I would divorce if my wife was running for Congress as on the same platform that she's running for. I'd divorce her too. but that's for another show.
You like listening to this show? Oh my God!
Kenny, who are your thoughts for the?
Oh my God, that's good. Well, I don't have a clue, but I'll tell you who I'm pulling for.
Kenny's even a foreigner, for that matter. And so we can go on and on and on and on about that. But go ahead. We digress.
There'll be a gold digger or two in his pitch. You can guarantee that. I want to see Marco Andretti do well. He gets so close often. I'd like to see him win before Grandpa dies. You know, at least one race. And he's with the right team. I mean, Andretti Motorsports has all the money in the world they can spend it on. I'd like to see A.J. Allmendinger. I'm going to keep an eye on him because when he lost his NASCAR ride in 2012, failing that drug test, Penske thought about putting him in an IndyCar. And I think he's got some history. And, Cliff, correct me if I'm wrong here. Doesn't he have some history in open wheel before he got to NASCAR anyway?
Yes, he did. That's where he started at, yes.
Yeah, I think you're the one that actually educated me on that a little bit. I'd like to see him do well. And the guy I'm pulling for is Tony Kanaan. He lost a good ride through no fault of his own a couple of years ago, landed with what some people call a second-tier team, and really put them close to the front an awful lot and had a lot of bad racing luck. I don't know that any one of those three guys have a shot at the points championship, but I kind of like to pull for the underdog, and we're going to keep an eye on those three guys in particular, at least I am.
All right, guys, let's talk about the Indianapolis 500 champion. If we were to predict an Indianapolis 500 champion, who would that be? My prediction would be J.R. Hillebrand. I think that he has had very much the opportunity to be there in the past. A lot of people liked him for last year. And I just think with this new DW12 on the scene, J.R. Hillebrand's going to come to Indianapolis 500 and drink the milk. Cliff?
Well, I tell you what, if he can learn how to go around a lap car, he would have won it 2 years ago. But, he's definitely got
Touché.
A good shot at it. I just hope that we have an exciting finish like we did last year, man. That was just awesome. And look out for Soto, man, or Sato. He was kind of hungry last year. If he can get in a good car, he's going to be the one to watch. But, you know, Franchitti and Kanaan, those and Castroneves, those guys love Indianapolis. Those are the three you've got to watch out for there.
Kenny, who's your prediction for the five early prediction, we should say, for the Indianapolis 500 champion?
You. I think you're going to win the thing.
I will.
You're going to get a ride, and you're going to win the thing. I'll tell you what, you asked me that after qualifying and after all the crazy stuff that happens in the month of May, and then I'll give you my best educated guess. This race is so unpredictable. I can remember Parnelli Jones leading by about 300 miles, and an $8 or $6 bearing took a dump in a turbo car, and he was done. I can remember A.J. Foyt winning after weaving through a bunch of traffic and nasty crashes to get to the finish line. And he wasn't even leading the race at the time, if I remember right. I can remember a rainstorm that just deluged the speedway, and guys were skating around just to get to the finish line. There's been so many wild and unpredictable finishes. I'm not even going to the prediction neighborhood and stuff.
Well, we'll
talk about that when we see who's in the field, who's driving for who, because guys pick up last-minute rides here and there. You know, the normal suspects are going to be there, of course. The Powers, the Hunter Rays, the Andretti's, the Ray Halls. We'll just see. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to save your prediction to the Saturday after the race. I want to get your prediction.
Nostradamus, baby, and then I'll be exactly right.
All right, real quickly, we'll get into NASCAR. One more prediction. I think we'll see four first-time winners. I think we're in a season where sophomore jinxes are really over with IndyCar, and I think more than ever, IndyCar needs some new heroes. It's time for some of the young guys to break out. I'm talking about JR, my man Hinch, the girl from Brazil, Newgarden. You know, and those are just a couple of the guys that I think are really going to have a breakout season for a series. Again, like I said, need some new heroes. We keep talking about the Andretti's and we keep talking about the Franchitti's. We need to start talking about the fresh blood that's out there, which brings us to full circle what we started talking about. Cliff?
Yeah, I agree. Newgarden's going to have a great year. Like we said, Hinchcliffe is going to be good. And the Silvestro is her name, I think, is how it's pronounced. Heck, I don't know. The Brazilian.
Simone de something.
Simona de Silvestro. You know, she's got some talent, man. And she may, you know, another year or two, she may, you know, they're going to say Danica who? So, yeah, Newgarden, I think I would love to see him have a great season this year and just really turn some heads in that racing series.
Well, I hear tell that the guys from Duck Dynasty and the Pope will be on the red carpet this year. So, hey, man, the new Pope is the man of the people, right? Oh, I am so glad of all. I'm nothing against Catholics or anything like that, but let's put it in perspective. He is just a man, and that we'll just let it go at that. All right, moving over to NASCAR, guys. Mr. Denny Hamlin, man, that number 11 car has really put together a string of some really good races here recently, and he's been right there at it. So it does not surprise me that Denny Hamlin wins the pole out there in Fontana, followed by Biffle. We talked about Biffle a lot on this show, being very, very fast. Mr. BK in the 3, Kyle Busch in the 4 position, and Matt Kenseth coming in number 5. Any thoughts there, guys, as we move around the clock here on the race out in Fontana?
Well, number
Biffle
one,
blew
he
a
has
motor
a route
today, guys.
Go ahead.
What's that?
Biffle blew a motor today. He may be starting in the back.
Oh. Well, Keselowski is starting in the back because he had to change his motor today as well.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually qualified second, but he's got to start at the back because he had to change his motor. Denny Hamlin's right there. Biffle's right there. But just seems they get into race issues, and they just can't seem to overcome that. I think we're going to see a fifth different winner, no doubt, this week. But I don't know, man. I would love to see Biffle win before Hamlin, no offense. But after what he pulled last week on Joey Logano, I hope he, you know, has like something break and he has to go back to the back somewhere.
Kenny?
Well,
Hamlin is driving one of them. I can't talk too much. But yeah, I don't know if you can hear that over the headset or not, but it's the only good thing about Toyota right now is that he's got one of those family things at his back window. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not, where you got mom, dad, two kids, and a dog that you see on the back, all these poppy moms things. Yeah, it is. It's cool. I like that a lot about him. And I'm a big fan of Darian Grubb. I just wish, you know, he got done really dirty by Tony Stewart Racing, I think.
Yes, he did. After they ended up
winning the championship. I think that's kind of cool that they finished winning the championship. And anytime he beats Tony, and I'm a big Tony Stewart fan, I just kind of snicker, you know, Darian got another one in on him. That's the only reason I pull for Denny Hamlin is because Darian Grubb, and I want him to be successful and stuff. Who's going to win that thing this weekend? Who knows? The Hendrick cars are always tough out of California. I'm not that big a fan of Biffle myself. I think he's good but not great. Keselowski, that buzzing guy he's got starting to back. He's one of my favorites right now and stuff.
Right.
You know, I didn't see the lineup and stuff. Who got the pole out there? Did Hamlin get the pole?
Denny Hamlin
got the pole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And rats. Okay. Well. I'm going
to
have the owner of Toyota. I mean, come after me here in a minute. So anyway, I'm going to stop.
All right, guys. I promise you, I keep you to 30 minutes because I know that Cliff needs to get back to his nap on the couch there. I woke him up. And so I promise I keep you guys to 30 minutes. So what's going on this week on Radio Speed Talk? You'll be able to hear it right here on Sunday or Monday because of March Madness. We're kind of bouncing around a little bit about that. But you'll definitely hear it within the next couple of days. Radio Speed Talk, guys, what's going on there?
Well, we got a lot going on. We talked, obviously, about Bristol. We talked about Fontana. Talked about what happened at NHRA last week. We talked about a lot of stuff, actually. We talked about the crash that happened out in California with the sprint car, and then we had a debate on how young should you be before you drive and, you know, things like that, and we had the Do You Know, so it was actually a pretty good show.
Well, Kenny, what do you know?
You're going to have to listen in, so you know, too.
How's that for a teaser?
I got a lot of legwork for those things, buddy. You're gonna have to. I can't just give it up on a Friday night.
That's what she said.
I digress. This is Nathan. It's your show.
On that note, guys, we do gotta go. We're gonna be right back, guys. We gotta take a break real quickly. Where can people find your work and your masterpieces at?
Go ahead, Kenny.
Oh, I don't know if I have a masterpiece anywhere, but I hang around on Twitter on KennyMar52, and I snicker at my Sports Center thing because you're right, Gulf Coast just beat Georgetown. Isn't that great?
You know, $2 Bill Josh is going to gloat about that, I'm sure, here in just a moment after the break because he did pick Florida Gulf Coast on that.
He's just faking it.
Where can people find your work and your masterpieces at, sir? Did we lose Cliff?
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry.
I said, where can people find your work and your masterpieces or stalk you or whatever?
Well, they can stalk me anywhere they want. Again, facebook.com/radiospeedtalk, radiospeedtalk.com. Or you can catch me at Radio Speed Talk 2 on Twitter, and that's number 2, not the word.
All right, guys, we appreciate you joining us. You guys have a safe week. We'll catch up with you next week, and I hope that you guys don't get too bruised up on March Madness.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tom. You have a great weekend yourself.
Our favorite guys from over at Radio Speed Talk, Mr. Kenny Barring and Cliff Tanner. And you know what? It's great when they're both on the show at the same time. I get them right. I don't have to call one the other. Guys, I'm going to take a break right here on the Ballast Radio Network. We're going to be back with $2 Bill Josh and Gene Walker from Indiana Talks. That's right. We're going to be talking some March Madness for the rest of the show, so you stay right there.
Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Thanks for joining us on a Saturday morning. Or if you're listening to the tape version, we always like to keep our recording sessions up in the archives. It is actually being recorded on Friday night. Obviously, a lot going on with March Madness. Bracket Buster Central, guys. Bracket Buster Central. And of course, we see this every year. That's why we call it Bracket Busters. And we're going to talk a lot about that with myself, $2 Bill Josh, and Gene Walker right around the corner here. We're going to be talking about the brackets. Did they bust? How's your bracket been doing? That's right. There's been a whole lot of crying going on this last couple days since Thursday, and it was bound to start. It was bound to happen. So I'll tell you what, we're standing by here. In just a few moments, we're going to be joined by Gene Walker, but right now, the Indiana Talks, but right now is joining us from out in Dayton, Ohio, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how's it going, sir?
It is going good. Going to hop on the radio show for you a little bit, and then we're going to head on over to to a party at one of the frat houses here in a little bit.
One of the frat houses. Mind yep. You, we are taping this on a Friday night, so okay. Well, just behave, stay out of jail. I run out of bail money, so we're not. You're gonna have to be on your own, brother. All right, here's what I want to do, and I do want to get into today's games, and I do want to get into the updates, but it's March Madness. I'm going to go through some of the biggest bracket busters, Josh. Obviously, one of them just happening. We're going to save that one for last. Let's start from the very first bracket buster, in your opinion, and work our way up to the present one. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, the first one that I'm going to go, and I'm only going to pick this one because you and Tony D both owe me money from this game, was Harvard over New Mexico. A lot of people thought New Mexico was really good. They won the Mountain West regular season, the conference title. They forgot one important key. Never pick a Steve Alford team in the tournament. For whatever reason, he can't figure it out. I know a lot of people, I don't know how far you had him going, Tom. I had a couple buddies here in Dayton, Ohio with me that had New Mexico winning it all, and I couldn't even make it out of day one.
Is that your only bracket? But who's your next bracket buster that you think has been the bracket buster?
Well, I think Ole Miss busted a lot of brackets when they ousted Wisconsin today. Surprisingly for me, I'm good at picking these bracket busters because I picked Harvard and I picked Ole Miss and I picked Florida Gulf Coast. I just can't pick the 8-9 games or the 7-11 games. Those games kill me, but I can pick the bracket buster. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, let's talk about another bracket buster. Let's talk about Wisconsin losing today. Was that a bracket buster?
Well, I think what you saw today is Wisconsin, for all of us here in Big Ten country, they're very slow, methodical, physical, want to beat you up type of team. They can't really get out and run the floor. And Ole Miss has a phenomenal point guard named Marshall Henderson. He wants to get out. He's cocky. He's brash. He's never met a shot he didn't want to take. They're very athletic, and Wisconsin just can't beat an athletic, up-tempo team if you want to consider 57 points up-tempo.
Well, I'll tell you what. It has been a crazy March Madness. I want to talk about another one. Now I'm going to eat crow on this one. I honestly thought for sure that Akron would come to VCU and play some game, some ball with heart. Well, that didn't happen, and Akron didn't play the way that Akron's played all year long. That made me think that they had the ability to beat VCU. So, Shaka Khan, as I like to call him, obviously an Indiana guy himself, really just demolished, in my opinion, the highest score, I think, I'll have to check on that, the highest score by margin win was to VCU and the over Akron. So what did you think? Is Josh, is Akron that bad or is VCU that good?
Both. Akron's that bad, and I have VCU in my Final Four for a reason. Now I have them losing to Hoosier Nation, more because my buddies promised you if IU makes it to the Final Four, we're going to go. Then I actually think IU's better than VCU. But you look back at what VCU's done, they're a very physical team. They're almost another Butler. But it all comes down to parity. Butler's not Butler because of some magic potion. And VCU's not VCU because of some magic potion. With scholarship limits, if you can recruit, and pretty much every college basketball game is on TV nowadays, you can get players. So players that at one point in time want to consider Butler or VCU or Florida Gulf Coast or Ole Miss or whatever other school we haven't heard about that's going to pull an upset later tonight are now going to those schools, enabling those schools to now compete with the big boys. So, Tom, I think what you're seeing this weekend is only going to be magnified in coming years, and eventually there's not going to be any difference between a number one seed and a 16th seed. They're going to be equally talented.
Well, and we look at that with Harvard, and Harvard beating New Mexico. And we want to say Steve Alford, you know, Gene says the same thing, never go in favor of Steve Alford in the NCAA tournament. But I think we're at a situation here. We're at a crossroads where teams like in the Ivy League, Harvard, Yale, are getting better quality athletes. How do I say this without sounding bad and making it sound like what it's going to sound like? But I'll just say it anyway. Harvard has lowered their grade point expectation or their academic index, if you will, to get accepted into Harvard for scholastic purposes. Harvard lowered their standards because good basketball players can't get accepted into their school. So what you're seeing is these high-quality schools lowering their standards so the kids that can play basketball can come and play basketball with them so they can be competitive. And let's face it, it's still all about the money, no matter how much money Harvard has running through it.
I would absolutely agree with that. And I was kind of shocked, you know, watching the Harvard-New Mexico game last night. Not that Harvard was winning, because, of course, I picked them. But when I heard they lowered their academic standards, you know, you think of Harvard and Princeton and Yale and Stanford. You think of the toughest schools to get in. Tom, is it a good thing that they're lowering their academic standards? Of course, not going to get into that debate tonight. Or is it actually a sad reality with the NCAA that the only way they can be competitive now is to not care about academics anymore? Is that a good thing, or is that actually kind of tragic?
Well, we'll have to get into that debate another time. And I'll tell you what, we'll open it up to our social media. Give us a tweet. They're at $2 Bill Josh, 2Bill Josh, or on our Twitter, T Balance here. And let us know your thoughts. Harvard lowering their academic standards. And, you know, here's the other thing. I love Twitter in March Madness. And I know Josh is our official Twitter reporter. So Josh has been all over a lot of this stuff. But I tell you what, right now, Josh, and when you look at Twitter world, we're going to talk about that for a moment here, guys. And again, I want to put out our Twitters. Josh is 2Bill Josh, and of course, we're T-Balance, and our sister company is Indy Pro Sports, Pro Indy. We do a lot of tweeting, and we have a – I want to, you know, special thanks to our social media director, Michelle Jones, who really stays on top of our social media world. And, you know, right now, and we look at Twitter, and Josh, you've probably seen this too, but right now the Pac-10, and more specifically Oregon, the Ducks are public enemies number one. Few people pick these bracket busters from wrecking havoc. We'll just call it that. On the nation's office pools and where there's money involved, people are going to get mad. But then again, I keep saying it, and I've said it enough already, probably. But that's why they call it March Madness. They've probably had a lot. They probably have cost a lot of people a lot of money and a great deal of misery and a great deal of drinking. Those Oregon Ducks. What in the world? Where did they come from? A lot of people say, oh, and this is just a tweet. I won't put out his handle there, but here's his tweet. Oklahoma State and UNLV don't deserve to play basketball again. Hashtag bracket busters. Josh?
I think that's a bit unfair, and it's, we're going to get more into this when Gene joins us on the show. Oregon was only a 12 seed because of the Pac-10 having a lack of respect and in doing some homework for the show tonight. Well, you're listening to it on a Saturday morning. The Pac-12 is now 4-0 in this tournament. Everybody talked about how bad they were, and they're 4-0. And later in the show, we're going to talk about how everybody said the A-10 was bad, and they're undefeated in this conference, in this tournament. They had five teams nobody thought belonged, and all five teams are in the round of 32. I think what's happening is they're not really bracket busters. And I think you're seeing social media become so powerful that somehow in that room at the NCAA headquarters, which is maybe 2 miles from the Balance Studio, it's certainly not very far, when they're making the bracket, and I don't know this for sure, but it appears it happened, they were reading Twitter and LinkedIn and other social media sites, and in some small part, that influenced the selection committee's thought processes to who should be what seated. Tom, do you think that actually happened?
I sure to God hope you're wrong on that. But, you know, conspiracy theories do it, theorists do have their theories. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could go wrong on seating and screw up a lot of teams. I've heard more people complain about committee in seeding this year on the basketball side of things than I have ever have. I thought we thought that we were talking about football. So maybe they got it wrong. I don't know. I mean, here's the way I look at it is at the end of the day, the NCAA March Madness tournament is designed to bring the very best team to a championship game. And if you happen to have a 16 seed, for example, when using this as an extreme hypothetical situation, but let's talk about Florida Coast beating Georgetown. Well, that's probably another one of the bracket busters we could talk about. And obviously that's a team that you picked, but let's talk about that. A lot of people has Georgetown going deep. Now, if so you see a 15 seed beating a 2 seed. So tonight, on tonight's particular night, they're better than Georgetown. Now, if they move on and they win again and they win again and they win again, they call that Cinderella for a reason. And you hear the sportscasters say the glass slipper fits. Keep it going. And then you see things like what Butler did a few years ago, going all the way to the Final Four. In fact, to the championship game. Coming from the bottom, beating the best teams around on a one-and-done type situation, done, taking care of business, it, to me, that makes a very good team. So at the end of the day, even though seeding could screw up and make it a little bit – seeding in this particular situation helped IU. I think helped them a lot. They're going to have to contend with Butler in Miami, but in my opinion, now that Georgetown is out, I don't know who else IU really has to contend with. So here's the thing. We already knew IU was one of the – if not the best – team in the country before the seeding. So they got it right with the number one seed. And they get to the national championship. So here's what I'm saying is, I would hate to think that the committee is looking at Twitter when making their seeding situations just because of a big impact that that has. But even if that's the case, that's designed to draw out the best team that has made it to the tournament. There's certain criteria you got to have to even make it to the tournament. Obviously, you look at Kentucky playing in the NIT. No matter how good they were, and no matter how popular they are, they didn't get in. So you have to meet the criteria to get in, and then they seed you accordingly. And there's a system in which they do that. So if a team can come from the number 16 seed, 15 or 14. And you see a lot of moving around the earthquake fault, if you will, the fault line on brackets. Always look at those number 8 and 9 teams. And that brings me to the next bracket buster maybe we want to talk about. Did Pitt screw everything up by losing to Wichita? Josh?
It's possible. I had Pittsburgh beating Gonzaga, but now that I watch the Pittsburgh-Wichita State game, I think Wichita State was just a better team. And I'm going to even argue, not going into too much detail, but if they threw 68 teams that made the field into a hat, randomly threw them on the board, without really doing the seeding process, it was totally blind draw. The same four teams that are going to make the Final Four this year would have made the Final Four no matter how you seeded it. So I don't know if I really like the term upset. Because, see, a lot of people are complaining their brackets busted or their brackets in shambles or they're mad at the selection committee. A question that I was debating with somebody, a Notre Dame fan, earlier today. When did that stop being the point of sports? When did the point of sports stop being on any given day anybody can win? It seems like that used to be what was important, and now sports is so dominated by gambling and bookies and odds makers and television revenue that nobody wants the magic in sports anymore. They want it to go. The top 8 seeds in each region win. Do you realize how boring a tournament that would be?
So let me ask you this, Josh. Do you think yesterday, or it was late in the day, this morning when we finally had everything done, you think the Pac-12 conference sent a big, hey, screw you to the selection committee yesterday and today?
I think that's exactly what they did, and I think that's what the Atlantic 10 did too.
Well, and I guess that just proves my point. The system is designed to bring good teams to the surface. Now, you could argue, okay, well, if they would have played them another day, they would have lost. Well, what if they hadn't have? I mean, the thing is, it's a one-and-done type situation. You win or go home. That's the rules. And you work hard to get into that. And if you happen to be a 16 seed and you had to win your conference championship just to get into the tournament, look at your season. Look at the kind of teams that you had. Now, we've already extended our teams, and we're just going to, you know, and I love that commercial, you know, where the guys from MIT or whatever are out celebrating because they finally got in. So, you know, at some point you got to draw the line in the sand. And so the committee, they're not perfect. Maybe it's not a perfect system, but it's certainly a heck of a lot better system than the BCS, and that's another show for another time. So, you know, UNLV, was that how big of a bracket buster was UNLV?
I only had UNLV going to the round of 32, but before we continue this discussion, for those of you who happen to be listening to us on Friday night, as you won't be able to do this on Saturday morning, if you don't want to get a hold of us via Twitter, go ahead and call 917-889-8516. We'd love to hear your opinion, whether you think we're right, wrong, indifferent, you think we're smart, you think we're idiots. Let us know your opinion. Kind of the whole purpose of the show is for you to be able to call in and give us your opinion. So once again, that's 917-889-8516.
And again, that's just tonight, and we don't broadcast our taping sessions a lot, so heck, if you're listening to us, though, we'd love to hear your Twitter, and send us direct tweets, if you will, and our social media director is in the studio today, keeping an eye on our social media. So let's talk about, real quickly, and then I'm kind of standing by for Gene to get into today's games. When I say today, I mean Friday. NCAA Tournament 2013. Let's talk about some of the sneakiest bracket busters to watch for, okay? And by the way, when we were looking at, was it Oregon yesterday? Who was the guy with the highlighter shoes? And why was he the only one that was wearing them? I'm totally baffled about it. Did you see that guy?
I am not. I know the guy you're talking about. I'm not sure why he was wearing them, but
what was that
they
about?
Look hideous.
We want to know. Highlighter shoes. Hashtag highlighter shoes and add us in it. We want to know. Let's talk about another one. Let's talk about this game. Florida Gulf Coast University. Obviously, I'm one of those guys too. I stuck with the conservative pick and with Georgetown. I'm glad to see Georgetown lose. I'm not a big fan of Georgetown. If you remembered a few weeks ago when I was talking to Preston Barr here on The Balance, I said Georgetown's way arrogant. I hope somebody does knock him off, and Florida Gulf Coast did that. But, Josh, looking at that when you were putting the brackets together, and now I will give you credit, you did call them on Sunday, on Selection Sunday. What was it about Florida Gulf Coast that told you that they could beat a team like Georgetown?
Well, I believe they could beat a team like Georgetown because they had already beaten Memphis, who's in the round of 32, and they had already beaten Miami, Florida. In fact, they blew the Hurricanes out in Miami, and the Hurricanes are a number two seed. Many people on Sunday were arguing they got robbed when they weren't named a number one seed. And again, it goes back to parity. 20 years ago, Kentucky, IU, Michigan State, those type of teams filled their bench with five-star recruits that knew they were never going to play just because they could, and there was no scholarship limits. Well, now that you can only recruit and put on scholarship 12 kids, you can have 16 if you want, but the other four can't be on scholarship. That's now a whole bunch of kids who would have been at IU, would have been at Kentucky, would have been at Duke, that are now at Florida Gulf Coast. Like, I don't know if you got to see any of the game tonight, Tom. I know you were out doing your other job. But Shannon Brown for Florida Gulf Coast. Watch him on Sunday. The kid is infectious. He's bubbly. He has a great smile. He was going around shaking the TV announcer's hands with, like, 10 seconds to go. Normally that'd bother me because it'd come off as arrogant. It came off as genuine. And there is no more... Yeah, sure, Duke and IU, Kentucky, they're always going to get the best players. But they're not going to get all the best players. So it's no longer a matter of if. I have Florida Gulf Coast. They could go all the way to the Final Four. The bracket could open up for them just because parity.
Well, there you go. Georgetown goes down. Georgetown goes down. And we're talking about bracket busters, and we're going to be getting into the games that happened today and what have happened, and going into tomorrow, today's game, Saturday. I tell you what, Josh, this taping late on a Friday night screws up my mind. It gives me jet lag. We have another bracket buster. You cannot tell me this isn't a bracket buster. So, again, this cannot all be blamed on committee and seeding. LaSalle stuns number 4 K-State after blowing a big lead. Thoughts?
That was a phenomenal game to watch. I watched it on my mobile phone, courtesy of this new March Madness Live app. You can watch any game, any place. I love that commercial for those of you who've seen it on TV. But it was a great game. LaSalle was simply the better team today. Now, maybe 9 times out of 10, they lose that game. But the beauty about March, and the thing that makes the college basketball playoffs better than the NBA playoffs, in the NBA playoffs, you got to win 4 times in 7 games. Do I think LaSalle could beat Kansas State 4 times in 7 games? No. But in NCAA, they don't have to. They only have to beat them once. They only have to come together and rise up. I'm sure you've seen these swarm up shirts, Tom, and they say it perfectly. They only have to rise to the occasion on one day. Just one time they have to be good enough to get the W. That's what makes this tournament the best tournament in all of sports.
Well, and we're going to be getting right here at the top of the hour here, guys. We're going to be talking with Gene Walker of Indiana Talks, and we're going to be talking about Friday's games and Saturday's games, and then we're going to be taking a look at Sunday's games as well. But while we're standing by on that, which NCAA tournament seed leaves the tournament first? Is it Louisville, Kansas, Gonzaga, or Indiana?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. By Saturday morning, you don't know whether I got this right or not. And I'm going to say it's Kansas in about 2.5 hours from now.
Well, I'm sorry,
Preston. I know you're going to give me heck for it next Saturday right here on the ballot. Western Kentucky's not a 16 seed. Kansas isn't a 1 seed. And I think this is the night it's going to happen. Doug Gottlieb also made the same pick earlier today. Sorry, Doug, I kind of stole your homework. But I think Western Kentucky's going to shock the world and beat Kansas tonight. Why not make that pick? Florida Gulf Coast shocked Georgetown.
Well, and let's talk about another game here that's going to be happening tomorrow, I believe. Butler-Marquette. Let's talk about that Marquette-Davidson game. Again, which one of those teams is that bad and which one of those teams is that good? We might want to sit back and say Davidson gave that game up. But at the end of the day, Marquette won. Now we look at Marquette and Butler. And I tell you what, Brad Stevens, I like this coach. He's probably one of the best coaches to watch, to talk to. Just certainly a down-to-earth guy. But it's his pay attention to detail. His studying of the data. His studying of the results. His studying of the tape that sets Butler apart, that makes Butler that good, because Brad Stevens is that good, and because Brad Stevens is that good, Brad Stevens and Butler will beat Marquette. Josh?
Well, yes, tomorrow's a great game. As everybody knows, Butler's moving to the Big East. You can throw the tape out when it comes to tomorrow. So you throw the records out, you throw the seeds out. Tom, I'm not sure if you remember the Maui Invitational, but on November 19th, Marquette had a big lead all day long. Rodney Clark had a game-winning three-pointer at the end of the game. Since that point in time, Butler and Marquette have made no secret of the fact they hate each other. They're getting ready to become as big a rivals as IU and Kentucky were before Calipari took his ball, cried, and went home. Tomorrow, the records don't matter. The seeds don't matter. These are two teams that flat out hate each other.
Well, and I agree with you, and that's why I'm saying it is going to be a great game. A great game to watch. And we're standing by here waiting for Gene Walker. We're going to take a break here while we are waiting for that. But I was just trying to see where we were at on the current games here real quickly here. I know that looks like Liberty's in a close game as well. Josh, what do we know about the current games going on right here at the moment?
Kansas is getting ready to start against Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers. You got actually, I don't remember the other three games going on, but I know there are three more games. And, Tom, when you get back from this break, I don't know if we've announced this yet or not. Maybe I'm going to announce something we haven't yet announced. But at some point next week, and I don't know if it'll be Friday, I don't know if it'll be Saturday, me and Tom are going to be down at the Midwest Regional. You know, Louisville and Duke are in that region, so that's kind of my favorite region to talk about, mainly because we're going to be at the regional games on Friday and hopefully on Sunday. And we're going to, at some point next week, and do the balance live, hopefully be able to get some fans on the show with us from downtown Indianapolis at the 2013 NCAA Midwest Regional.
Well, that's going to be a great time, and we are working out some details. We were hoping to do our – there's a lot of broadcast rules and stuff, but we are hoping to do a remote next Saturday live in Indianapolis. We're going to get to that as we can. Josh, you made an interesting tweet, and we got to take a break. Ohio State was going to be upset today by Iona. You called that. You said, hey, here's what's going to happen. Bracket buster, Ohio State. Didn't happen, my friend. Did not happen. Ohio stays on with an easy win, 95-70 over Iona.
They did take Iona to school, but before I kick that game, Tom, I'm going to give myself half credit. I did tell you we'd see a historical upset today in Florida Gulf Coast. Oh, with Georgetown is indeed historical.
Well, absolutely. You just didn't get the team right. Well, we're going to take a break, and hopefully on the other side of this break, we'll be joined with Gene Walker from Indiana Talks. If not, we're going to go ahead and dive right in to today's game, and we'll catch Gene up when he gets here, guys. You're listening to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Mark with my minions. Stay put. We got a lot more March Madness to talk about. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams,
you poop for real.
Especially to IU fans, number one seed, IU taking care of business today. We're going to definitely get right into that game. We want to get into all the games that happened today and, you know, some of the upsets from yesterday after our update. And did it ever happen? And we were, of course, obviously, we're talking about one of the biggest. Who's this Harvard University? We're going to talk about that them here in just a few moments as well. As some of the other games that are going on, and of course we're gonna just really, really get in to that whole Florida Gulf Coast game, and we're gonna let Josh gloat a little bit more. But joining us is Mr. Gene Walker of Indiana Talks and Mr. $2 Bill. Josh, Gene, how are we doing, sir? Last time we talked, and I'll publicly, quickly do this. I will eat crow. I've already talked about this earlier with $2 Bill, Josh. I talked about it with Michelle, our social media director. I honestly thought that Akron would play better ball against VCU. I propose a question to you, Gene, and it's probably both. Josh's answer was both. But Akron didn't play the way they played in the past that made me think that they could actually beat VCU. So one of two things I ask you, is Akron that bad or is VCU that good?
Akron's okay and VCU is really good. Does that answer it?
That answers it pretty good. Here's the thing. I want to see. I am not one of these VCU bandwagoners. I thought we'd see an upset there, and obviously I'm not any good at predicting upsets. At least I haven't been so far. Although there was a couple there that I did. And we were just talking about bracket busters, and I know we want to get into today's games. Obviously Friday, we're taping this on Friday for Saturday, and then today's game meaning Saturday's games. So bring everybody up to speed. We are taping this show on Friday night, so because it's March Madness. So we got Friday's games to talk about and Saturday's games, which is today on which this show airs. But what had since yesterday, it seems like a long time ago. So my days are running together. I'm on jet lag doing so many things at one time here. But what's been the biggest bracket buster in your mind so far, Gene?
Well, I guess on paper you could probably list a couple. I was upset that I had fallen, knowing how bad Alford is coaching, that I even give this guy a game. The most bizarre thing about Steve Alford is he's so good in the regular season, and he's so good coaching in these conference tournaments. And he doesn't extend past that at all. He's lost three times that I know of as a three seed. That's unbelievable, with two different schools. And so you could say New Mexico, but I didn't have them going that far to begin with. Georgetown, on the other hand, and the reason I'm kicking myself for this is because $2 Bill was right on it with me on Sunday, talking about how overrated the Big East truly is. And that's coming through in spades today between Cincinnati and Villanova, two teams that shouldn't have even been in this thing, over a team like Iowa. And then on top of it, Georgetown, which I had going a couple rounds, can't even get past a Gulf Coast team that has not played the kind of competition you would think would have prepared them to play this. So I personally didn't have Georgetown going very far, but I sure as heck had them going farther than a round. And
I think we all did.
And I think
except
we're starting to turn the mirror back on myself and our conference. I had Wisconsin in the two brackets. I had one in Ohio State going, the other Wisconsin going. And for them to lose to Ole Miss today, just you talk about not showing up for a game. Wisconsin did a pretty decent job on the M&M of college basketball. Mr. Marshall, by the way, he's named Marshall too. That's kind of ironic. And yet in the second half, they couldn't contain the kid at all. So I think between Wisconsin and certainly Georgetown, and then for some, New Mexico, those are the ones that just kind of trip you up. If you're just trying to go chalk across the board, those are the three.
What about that Oklahoma State game?
Well, I didn't have any faith in Oklahoma State to go past a round, other than the one game, other than that one. So I didn't really. That's what I'm talking about in some of these games, and maybe why it's a little askew at BCU, because you have so many fives out right now. This was a weak class of five, and so Oregon should have been ranked seated higher. I agree with Gottlieb the other day when he asked the guys from the tournament committee how a team that wins their major conference is seated under the team they just got waxed by several seeds and another team in Colorado as well. And so I guess Oregon, you know, they probably should have been seated in the 9-8 range, and maybe it was Oklahoma State that should have been a 9. It's hard to really balance that out just based on a game. We'll see what these 12s do now. But man, 3 5s gone at light speed. And Kansas State, man, I you talk about a team that didn't show up for a game. And then at the end, we talked about how teams finish. You know, Kansas State comes down the floor, and the big man tries to score. I got no problem with that. But when they came back for their final trip, they're not running a play. They're doing what most teams do, stand around, no movement, no picks, no anything, and watch their point guard get in trouble, get botched into a corner, and try to shoot the ball from behind. He'd have been better just to jack up a bad shot from 30 than to do that. Nobody came over and helped him screen or nothing. So I would throw Kansas State in that mix too, man. These fours, all these fives gone, and then, of course, Wisconsin in that pile, New Mexico doing what they always do. I'm telling you, man, a lot has been cleared out right now. And, I lost Wisconsin. I thought they were going to have a solid tournament. They did.
Well, we started with 64. Then we're at 32. And by the end of the day, well, we're gonna have a little bit better picture of our Sweet 16 and Elite Eight and certainly our Final Fours, because a lot of our bracket busters are going to happen here very soon within the next 24 hours. And I always like to say, and I'm not very good at picking upsets, as far as what we would call a typical bracket buster upset. But one thing I can tell you is the New Madrid fault in March Madness brackets always has been, in my mind, always will be those number 8 and number 9 seeds. That's why I looked at Colorado State beating Missouri. Everybody thought, well, no, Missouri will handle business. Obviously, I don't even think Colorado State thought it was going to be this easily, but shots just kept falling for them. They were getting the looks, and Thursday night's 84-72 victory for the Rams. And I called Colorado State in that particular game, guys. So let's look at those number 8 and 9 seeds, and what I like to affectionately call the New Madrid fault, because it can shake up the bracket very, very easily, just by being on what that earthquake fault is. And I know, Gene, you spent some time out in California, so you know what a fault line is and what it does. So we'll start with you, Josh. Those number 8 and 9 seeds, do you agree that that's the New Madrid fault of March Madness?
I do agree. And by the way, I just want to go ahead and give myself props on my bracket, my official bracket, not the balance of my official one. I am 26-2 as of right now.
Good to know that you're the official Twitter reporter for the balance, and your official bracket isn't the balance. I don't know quite how to take that $2 bill, Josh, but okay. Not his official bracket wasn't the balance one. That's not the one that he's official on.
Well, right. I'm going by my official one because I had to pay $100 to enter this pool.
All right. So the New Madrid Fault, Josh, let's talk about that. You look at the 8 and 9 seeds that have happened there. Do they stay alive going forward, Josh?
I do think they stay alive. And as far as the New Madrid Falls or whatever you want to call it, yes. And Gene, had I just listened to you, I'd be 28-0 right now. The two games that I lost, I picked Pittsburgh over Wichita State, and I picked Villanova over North Carolina. Now, I went ahead and I picked Florida Gulf Coast over Georgetown, down in the Big East there. But for whatever reason, I picked those two Big East teams. And those are the only two that I've lost. But I would argue it's not the 8-9 that's the hardest to pick. Because I went online and I found the official criteria sheet. I haven't got a chance to get it linked up to Twitter and all that yet. Did you know, statistically, a number 5 seed and a number 12 seed are rated the same? They're rated the same usually within 2 or 3 points on the RPI scale. But because of the way the automatic bids, this, that, they can't go to that region, they can't go to that region. If you follow the criteria sheet, there should be no difference between the strength of a 5 team and the strength of a 12 team. They should statistically be the same.
Well, that would explain why we've seen that 12-5 dynamic play out in other tournaments. That's a great point. And had I listened to you Sunday, $2, I would have had the guts to pick Gulf Coast because you were right. They had that great victory over Miami. They had another big victory in the non-conference. And I was tempted to do it because I said, and we were both on this, I'm not sold on anything the Big East has to offer except for two teams, Louisville on a constant basis and Syracuse when they're angry. That's it. Those two teams are very scary at their best, no question about it. But, you know, there was just a lot of hype on that conference, and I didn't have the guts to pull the trigger on Gulf Coast. I really wish I had on Harvard because I made a case that New Mexico wouldn't go anywhere, and I didn't do that. I think I'm more upset when I don't make a pick, I'm talking other people into making, than I do when I'm just talking. You know, when you're just wrong, you're wrong. But when you actually made a case to do it and then you don't do it, it's 10 times worse, you know.
Speaking of that, Gene.
What's that?
Based on the Harvard-New Mexico game, and I was going to take Tom, but since Tom also lost a bet to me, I don't think it's fair to take Tom. Next time you're in Indianapolis, one of the bets that I won was a full-course dinner for two people at St. Elmo's. Because I bet somebody who one of the managers at St. Elmo's, Harvard would beat New Mexico, and he goes, no, of course not. And if they do, I'll give you a complete dinner for two people to St. Elmo's. The next time you're in town, buddy, me and you are going to go over to St. Elmo's.
Well, there you go, because I lost the bet. But see, at the last minute, I think it was halftime, wasn't it, Josh? You said, I'll bet you $10. Well, here's the thing.
It was actually about a half hour before the game started.
Was it before that? I don't know. Okay. Well, we move on. You know what? And I want to kind of talk a little bit more about this New Madrid Fault, about the games currently in play. 7:43 left in the Oklahoma-San Diego State game. The Aztecs, number 7, Oklahoma, number 10. Again, along that fault line, Oklahoma appears to be leading, but not maybe with a big lead, but 27-19. The Aztecs, Gene, that is huge. If they fall, that will really shake up a lot of brackets.
Well, again, for me, I don't really have San Diego State or Oklahoma going very far either way. I didn't care who got out of there. But to me, if you make the case for Oklahoma, but that's the thing is that I look at San Diego State's weak record, weak opponents. I looked at the fact that they're athletic. I looked at the fact that they always get this tournament, don't do anything. Same coaches involved. They generally the staff. So, I don't know. Like, in your 8 and 9 part, you were talking about 8 and 9. I would have to jog my memory tonight, but, you know, like I said, I did pick Creighton. I know that was – I thought it was an 8-9. Well, that was a 7-10. Was that 8-9 or 7-10?
Creighton?
That was a 7-10.
Okay, so let's go to the 8-9. I had Wichita State. I had North Carolina. Give me the other two real quick, guys. I don't have it in front of me.
Creighton was 7-10. Go ahead, Josh.
The 8-9s were Villanova, North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Wichita State, Temple, NC State.
Right.
And I forget the fourth one.
I had Temple winning, so that's three of those four. Those were all coin toss games. I don't remember the fourth one. I don't know why I don't. Now, here's the thing. Do I believe that's a fault line? That I don't either. Because, and here's why. Let me phrase that again. It can be if you feel that the teams above there aren't that strong. And in one place that could have been a fault line is in the Gonzaga bracket. Because when you're looking at 8-9, you figure the team that gets out is going to be facing that one seed at some point. Do you feel that one seed can move on? So where it is a fault line is Wichita State, for sure. You know, Wichita State, I believe, can go through that area right now. I think I have them going a couple rounds in or more. But now, does it hold the same weight up north against in the Midwest bracket against Louisville? It really depends on who is above that. How strong is that number one? That's kind of what I think it depends on.
Well,
and by the way, the fourth 8-9 was Colorado State, Missouri. And I think the reason nobody remembers it is because it's pretty much a given that team's going to go out tomorrow and get whacked by Louisville.
Right, and so there it is. So even though I was able to flip the coin four times and get four out of four, that's basically what those games are. I agree. Do you see Colorado State beating Louisville? I don't, and not at all. So it's sort of one of those things where you don't get too worked up about it. What I was amazed to see is, and the $2 brought up a great point. If the 5-12 thing is misleading, then where does that mean? Where's Virginia Commonwealth at that seat? Because Virginia Commonwealth is just absolutely headless at the moment. They are on fire right now. And St. Louis is, too, for a larger part. They didn't win as impressively. But those two teams we pointed to are really scary right now. I don't know. I just think that maybe VCU maybe could have been bumped up a little bit. But remember, it's one game. It's one game. And we've seen some teams look very good that first round and then just kind of fade. I don't think VCU is that team, but I'm sure there's a few that fit that category. And here, I got a question for you two. Indiana, which looked incredible today. But we know the story of the IU Hoosiers, don't we, guys? That these guys never, and I mean never, put a string of great games together. So now, they come out like this and handle business today, come out flat the next day, or does the emergence of Yogi put them in the Final Four because now they can't deal with three people? That's the only question I have on IU.
I have another question for you. I guess we're about to take a break.
Go ahead, Josh. Hurry up.
You know, IU got up big, and my question for you, Gene and Tom, and it angered me, being in the arena, that they did this. A lot of people say Tom Crean needed to pull the starters. No, I think he let them in because, Gene, I don't know if you agree, and Tom, I want to know if you agree, with about 8 minutes to go, they took their foot off the gas pedal. They said, we got this game, let's relax, take it easy, let's coast out of here. No, this is a tournament. I don't care if you're up 50, you play this entire game like it's a tied game. Gene, do you think the fact they relaxed for the last 8 or 9 minutes of that game could come back and bite them? I'm scared, well, not scared, but a little worried that because they did that, they're going to do it the next game. When they're only up 10, they got, we got this, and it's going to cost them to be out of the tournament.
Well, I mean, obviously, they're not going to have that MO against Temple now. Your question is, if they took that same notion against a Temple team, would they be in trouble? The answer is probably yes, or a team similar to that. You do have the luxury, and I've made this case many times before, and in this case, Gonzaga, being a very weak number one, is the only one that suffered, the only one we haven't seen Kansas play yet. But so what I'm saying is that's a cannon fodder game. The 16 seeds are always a cannon fodder game. And your job, basically, is to blow them out because those teams simply do not belong in this tournament. Never have, never will. And so now, what is it, 0-300? I haven't even kept up with how lopsided this 1-16 thing is. And Gonzaga, even if Gonzaga had lost, when they're not supposed to, should have been a number one, Miami should have been, that wouldn't have proved anything. That would be 1-300 or whatever. So the question,
they're currently 0-115.
115, okay, fine. So there, basically what you have to me is you can take the pedal off against James Madison, because if you left out Oladipo or any of those guys who were getting kind of thrown into the post there at the end and they got hurt, then what would the case be? It's just like football. Well, you were up like 5 touchdowns with 5 minutes to go. What were you doing keeping Manning in the game? And then if he gets hurt, you're done. So I don't necessarily believe that that's a big deal, but I do agree that if you were to do that against a better team with over 10 or 15 minutes to go, then maybe that would cost you. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Well, certainly, and we'll get into a lot more of those discussions as we move on. And we're going to have to take a break here in about 3 minutes. Obviously, and to answer your question, Gene, I think Yogi absolutely, with an appearance of Yogi, and especially with Georgetown being out, and really are the only teams that I think that they have to worry about. You mentioned Temple. They just have to go out and play IU basketball. But one thing I think any opponent knows, that all they got to do is get in the face of IU and get physical with them, and they got a halfway decent shot of winning, and Butler knows that oh too well. And I tell you what, Brad Stevens can beat anybody right now, and Brad Stevens and Butler can beat Marquette, and there could be a possibility when we look at IU and Butler for a rematch, depending on what happens with Miami. But I'm going to tell you, IU, I agree with you. IU does have a problem stringing together some wins, so we'll see what happens. Okay, that over in the West region right now, there where Josh is at right now, Iowa State and Notre Dame, 10:15 left in the – well, it helps if I refresh. But let me refresh that here real quickly here. Iowa State and Notre Dame, Iowa State up 21-18 with 5:43 left in the first. There any thoughts on that game, guys? I know you're not a big Iowa State fan there, Gene, but any thoughts on that game?
Well, as I said the other day, of course, I can't stand Iowa State. I am rooting wholeheartedly for the Dame Irish to win this. I did pick Iowa State to go, though, because I don't pick with who I like. I pick with who I think. I think Iowa State, the way they ran Kansas down 2 of 3 games this year, proves that competition. We go back to it again. Virginia Commonwealth ran with St. Louis. Despite the fact that they lost those close games, they were close. See, that's the point I've been trying to get to people. The reason Iowa should have been in the tournament is because they ran with the big teams close. Iowa State's done it. Virginia Commonwealth has done it. And that's why they're competitive. 3 points one time, no big deal. 3 points two or three times, big deal. Then if it's against a good competition, you have to look at that and go, so basically I don't think this team should make it over 4 free throws or a layup. That's what you're keeping them out for. And so I look at Iowa State, and, man, they had 2 wins against Kansas this year, but they couldn't close out. One with the referee's help on a charging call, one time because Kansas pulled out a great 3 at the end. So if they can run with Kansas, why can't they run with Notre Dame? And, Tom, what conference is Notre Dame in?
Again, the Big East, but maybe.
The overrated Big East. And the
no, there is no but maybe with the Big East. The Big East sucks. It's overrated, and I'm glad to see it breaking up.
All I'm saying is, real quickly, we got to take a break here, guys. But all I am saying is that Notre Dame kind of gets to pick and choose their conference. So, you know, I'm just saying that just because they're in the Big East, they're still Notre Dame, and Notre Dame has played some great basketball. We've got to take a break, guys. When we get back, we're going to finish talking about the games that are going on now Friday night, and again, that's going on today, Saturday, and lead on into the Sweet 16. We've got 30 minutes left, guys. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Los terroristas.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right, my minions, my name's Tom Mark Michelle, Presidente. We are back on a Saturday morning or a Friday night, depending on where you're at and where you're listening to us. We're taping our show on Friday night because there's so much going on with March Madness. We're all going in a bunch of different directions. Joining us is Mr. Gene Walker of Indiana Talks and $2 Bill Josh. We're going to finish breaking down today's games. Who's playing now and left to play in today's scores, and jump over to that Sweet 16. That's right. We're getting closer and closer to getting the picture of who that Final Four is going to be. Once we start, guys, it goes quick. They call it March Madness for a reason. We start at 64 and we end with 2 or 1, depending on how you want to look at that. Definitely inward 4, which is going to be in Atlanta, which that's what this is. It's the road to the Final Four. So, guys, let's just jump right back into our conversation here. We're going to be talking about today's games, but I certainly want to cover these games that are going on right now in the South region over there in Kansas City, Missouri. And Western – and Josh made this comment, and I asked Eugene, who do you think is going to be the first number one seed to go home? And I don't know that's going to happen in the first round. But Josh made another bold prediction. The Hilltoppers beat the Jayhawks tonight, and that tomorrow when the balance actually airs, this will be old news. The number one seed Kansas Jayhawks has gone home. Gene, thoughts?
Well, listen, I mean, we know that $2 is a gunslinger for sure, and I admire the moxie of this young man. But listen, here's the deal. Is it capable? Are they a scary number one? That's true. So what he says has some merit. We've seen them be really bad. TCU, and there's a couple games this year, they were just absolutely awful. I made the prediction that it will never happen. I made that prediction 8 or 9 years ago. They didn't start that lately. And I'll tell you what. I'm staying with it for life. I don't see it happening. And especially the way that, like, Georgetown just went down, or a lot of these fives. I think Kansas being a late game, they had to see these big seeds falling. They're going to go out. They're going to play hard for 40 minutes. And their hard for 40 minutes is better than a 16 seed for 40 minutes. But I will tell you, it is scary because, again, as soon as one team does it, everybody will lose their everlasting mind and act like these four teams that they put in every year over four better teams should constantly be taking up the space in this NCAA driveway. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and it's certainly, I wish we had time to get into that debate because I see the merits to that debate, Gene. But I also still see that there's something to be said about a team that comes in as a number 16 seed and works them their self all the way up. And you look at what Brad Stevens was able to do a few years ago. There's a reason they call them Cinderella's teams, and there's a reason that all the broadcasters, all the media say, try on that glass slipper because it fits.
Well, then what's the difference, Tom? What's the difference then between a Cinderella and cannon fodder? I didn't say get rid of the 13-14 seed or the 15. I'm just talking about the four teams in the 16 area that never win, ever win, not even 10%. If you gave me 10%, even though that wouldn't be nearly enough to justify it, I might stretch my imagination. You can't even give me 0.0001%. That's my point.
You sound like the angel trying to save Sodom and Gomorrah and Abraham. If you could show me one person, I'll spare the city.
If I could add, Gene, I agree with you. But rather than have that debate, because we don't have time right now, I'm sure we can have it via Twitter. Well, I don't know if you have Twitter, or we can have it on another show. They may not belong. The fact of the matter is, even though they may not belong in the party, they got an invite. They accepted the invite. They're at the party. Western Kentucky, and Gene, if you watch a lot of college basketball, I'm sure you'll agree with me. Yes, they're a number 16 seed. They're another team. Did not deserve to be seeded that low. If I would have been on the selection committee, I would ask, how can you justify putting Western Kentucky as a 16 seed? And Kansas did lose to a TCU. Losing to TCU is not losing to a 16 seed. It's losing to a 30th seed.
Well, and we'll get into that. And I do want to have Michelle, and those of you that are listening to our normal Saturday broadcast, Michelle's putting it up on our social media right now. Should the number 16 seed be in the tournament? Where should the line in the sand be? So tweet us at T-Balance or over Josh there at 2Bill Josh. Should there be a number 16 seed? We got to move on, guys, to another game that I'm very intrigued about there in Austin, Texas, in the South region. And I tell you what, they say everything is big in Texas for a reason. People go home big in Texas, too. 50-56 left in the first, Minnesota over. Again, it's still early in the game. Minnesota over UCLA. I'm going to give this to Gene because, Gene, I know that's your old stomping grounds. The Bruins, can they go gopher hunting and actually come back with some meat?
My boy Matt Money Smith broke a story. Actually reported a story about Muhammad that his age isn't correct.
He's like 20 instead of 19, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that his father is a nightmare, and that for a long time now this guy hasn't been part of this team. He didn't want to go to UCLA. They had a huge injury the other night, and of course not. They're going to lose this game. They're going to lose this team to get another battle-tested Big Ten team that was written off at the end of a season, who is inconsistent, I will give you that. But Minnesota's schedule was absolutely brutal. UCLA is going to go down. I will say this, though. If they had the other kid who was injured the other night, I'd say it'd be a tougher thing. But this was an upset I picked without even looking back on.
Well, Muhammad has a fake ID. Muhammad has a fake ID, and Barack Obama has a fake birth certificate. We'll see what happens.
If I could chime in on this.
Go ahead, Josh.
I've never lived in Southern California, but I grew up, you know, I was born in the mid-80s, so I don't really remember John Wooden, but I idolize UCLA. And, Gene, you lived out there, I think, for some 20 years. Not only is UCLA going to lose, tonight, I think it's finally time. You remember the Sports Illustrated article last year, all the recruiting violations, the shenanigans, this, that thing going on. Ben Hallett, you've never belonged to UCLA. And here in a few days, Gene, I want to get your thoughts. Is it time to fire Ben Hallett and bring in somebody with ties to the UCLA program? Because it, to me, as a program, if you're going to be the head coach, you should have ties to that school, not come from the East Coast.
Well, I'm mixed on it. I will admit that what you say has some merit because I think that it hasn't gone the way they thought it would. I guess trying to compare him to Herrick from before, he looks spotless, for whatever that's worth. And, you know, I remember living out there at Balboa Park and watching the master, and that's what he was, John Wooden, do his little hike around the park every day. And, oh, how I wanted to walk up to him and just talk to him and soak up knowledge from this guy. But I always left him alone, and we spoke a couple times. This program will never be back to that, but college basketball won't be either. It's a different landscape. Howland brought physicality from Pitt to UCLA, and for a little bit it worked because the Pac-12 wasn't playing like that. But it kind of caught up with them a little bit. They shouldn't have been seen as high as six. And tonight they are going down, and you're right, this might be the end of his term.
Well, you know, speaking about dinosaurs when it comes to coaching, obviously Coach K has been hearing about Lehigh for the last year. And this, you know, he gets his 80th tourney win, obviously with some IU connections through Bobby Knight and just a lot of different other connections that he has to Indiana. But he's certainly what I would consider one of the dinosaurs of college basketball, not one of the new faces. Maybe we're looking for some new heroes, guys. But Duke avoids the repeat upsets. But I'm going to tell you what, though. I did have an opportunity. I was in and out of games today, so I didn't get a chance to watch like I normally do. But I'm going to give Albany credit. They went down swinging, Gene.
Well, here's the thing. if you're not going to give a team like VCU any credit for being competitive with St. Louis, if you're not going to give credit to Iowa being competitive with all the top teams they lost to, then why in the world, Tom, on the ballot? It's in the name. Get some balance, sir. You're like Fox News. Here's the deal. It's a fair and balanced. You don't have to say you're fair and balanced. That's how it works, okay, pal? You don't get to be selective with who you give credit to. And by the way, Duke sleptwalked through that game and still won. So please, sir, I like you, but settle down to the match.
I'm gonna tell you, we're the Fox Sport, we're the Fox News Network of sports.
I know you are.
Fair and balanced. We went on over Kansas City today. Another game, and we talked about this possibly being a bracket.
If I can interrupt real fast about when it comes to Duke.
You're going to anyway, Josh. Go ahead. No, I asked permission. Go ahead.
When it comes to Duke, they did sleepwalk through the game. No, I'm not giving Albany credit because he still refused to give Iowa credit. Doesn't matter. On Sunday, Creighton, you're going to win one for the little guy. Duke, you're not ready for Creighton. I'm not sold on you as a 1-2. I would have put Duke a 4-seed, and I cannot wait to see the freaking choir boys of Durham, North Carolina, get beat by the Creighton Blue Jays on Sunday.
You know what? It amazes me. You know, and I'm just kind of watching Twitter as we go through the recording of this show, and I just watch these things and comments as they come back. I see this Twitter. I don't like to name Twitter names. I know a lot of radio shows name Twitter names. I don't do that because get some pretty scary stuff out there sometimes. But Notre Dame, I'm just going to read this tweet came across. Notre Dame should be embarrassed by wearing those March Madness uniforms. That's the sole reason I want them to lose. So we look at Oregon say. I want to know who was this guy, and we created the hashtag earlier, and Michelle's on it again. Hashtag highlighter shoe for Oregon. Why and who in God's name? That's why they lost. I mean, that's why they won, because Oklahoma State was blinded by the highlighter shoes. Gene?
All I heard really was highlighter shoes. These shoes are stupid. Did you see the other night? So you know I can poke fun of my own. In the NIT tournament, they kept showing Devin Marbles purple, dark gold, and like brown. I don't even know what these things were on his feet. I listen. But here's the thing, guys. Back in the day, Georgetown, to their credit, was the one that really got the shoe thing going. And then Michigan came along with the socks. After that, whatever. If Phil Knight wants to go ahead and make our retinas burn even more watching the stupid set play basketball, then I guess I'm forced to watch my glasses melt off my face. It's not bad enough that I see these stupid trees on the floor, but now I got to deal with the fluorescent shoes. No wonder Oklahoma State is losing. They looked down at the feet and got spots in their eyes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, guys. We could talk about these uniforms and these mascot names all the time. Temple, we talked about them a little bit. Obviously, they're in Dayton where Josh was today. Josh, you had a chance to watch Temple, North Carolina State. Very close game. One of those March Madness type games. Again, on my New Madrid Fault, the number 8 and 9 seed. Temple over North Carolina State. Thoughts on that game, Josh?
1 year ago, the entire country was in love with Mark Gottfried. Mark Gottfried's the new kid on the block. He's the new man genius, as Eric Mangini of the NFL used to like to call himself. Mark Gottfried can do no wrong in North Carolina State. North Carolina State's going to be the best team in North Carolina. That's 1 year ago. Today, North Carolina State proved that the Purdue Boilermakers are the ACC. They have no discipline. They're immature. And they cannot play as a team. I'm sorry, North Carolina State. You should have blown Temple out. You're the Purdue Boilermakers, so Mark Gottfried, that makes you the Matt Painter. You like to coach immature, undisciplined teams.
All right, guys, let's talk about some very disciplined teams, in my opinion. Again, this is a fair and balanced discussion. But Miami, number 2 seed over there against Pacific, number 15 seed. No big surprises there, 78-49. I do think these guys have a lot of discipline. I just don't think that they have what it takes to get past IU. But if we listen to what Gene says, then IU's in trouble against either Miami or Butler. One of those two teams, IU's got to get past. If it holds true, we'll see how the brackets come together. But I think a lot of people have a big upset coming soon. Maybe not in the next round, but certainly in the Elite Eight with Miami going down. So Miami Pacific, any thoughts on that game, Gene?
Well, I told you before, I'll say it again. Miami should have been a number 1 seed. I don't buy Gonzaga as a 1. And I think that chip on their shoulder is going to serve them well, because Miami is just inconsistent and young enough. Had they got the 1, it might have went to their head. They need things like this to kind of focus them. I don't see the upset coming. I see, basically, unless, and the caveat is this, I called for Yogi to start laying the ball up when he starts breaking these ankles. And an Indiana fan agreed with me. And what's he do? He does it at one after the other after the other after the other to start that game. If you get that guy more involved in the scoring directly, that might be the wrinkle that keeps IU afloat in these times when you guys know it as good as anybody. They play a great half, and then they have a 10 to 14 minute run that is horrific. And I've never seen a number 1 team other than Kansas this year do it more than IU. But Yogi, that guy right there, could be the wrinkle offensively that makes IU the winner that they haven't been consistently this season, more times than not, deserving of a number 1, but not going to a championship. But if he doesn't get involved, I like those Hurricanes.
So you're saying, are you saying that the only team that can stop IU right now is Miami?
I'm saying that the team that's probably going to stop them is Miami. I think that IU stops themselves sometimes.
I
don't think that the teams that they have played this year that have beaten them, Illinois and Minnesota, they're not better than IU. It's just IU hasn't been number one for long. And what happens when a team blows up like the Hoosiers have and done a great job is we kind of expect them to mow people down, and they don't. If this team was returning from last year and they had a season like this last year, then you can expect it. But right now, it's the cake is not quite baked all the way. It's real close. And when it gets there, Miami probably wouldn't stop them, but I just don't have the faith that for four or five games straight, we're going to see the kind of IU team we saw today. That's all.
All right, guys, and we want to just keep moving on here. And you know, here's one in one of my upset brackets that I put together. I had Cincinnati actually winning it all. Obviously, that wasn't going to come together with Creighton, number 7 and number 10 seed, the Blue Jays. But here's the thing about that game, and I like Creighton, and I certainly feel like that they deserve a win there. Very tight game, very close game, very low-scoring game, very defensively game. But my question to you, $2 Bill Josh, you're on deck and you follow the NBA a lot. Doug McDermott can put on his decision on hold, at least right now, about bolting for the NBA. If they do well in the NCAA run here, how much does that play in his decision, or is Mr. McDermott going to see how well he's able to test the waters in the NBA draft? But we know he can only do that for a few hours. Go ahead, Josh.
I believe he's gone, but let me tell you who he's going to equate to. How much do you hear about Jimmer Fredette? How much did you hear about Steve Alford? How much did you hear about Damon Bailey? Travis Diner, I believe it's Diener rather, in the NBA. He's going to leave college early. And as soon as he gets drafted and sit on the end of the bench, he might even get sit down because leave it to the Pacers to do something ridiculous like this, to draft him and send him to Fort Wayne to play in the NBA DL. Do I think he's going to leave early? Yes. Is he an NBA ball player? Not on his best day.
But is he a is he a Dane 5 coach? So. Is that what you're trying to imply? Is he a Steve Alford coach, a Dane 5 coach? So what you're saying, he's going to be more of a college coach in the future than he is an NBA player in the future. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying he's another white kid who all he can do is hit the three. And I'm sorry, in today's NBA, there's not really room for those guys anymore.
Well, you know what? That kind of goes back to what I was saying a while ago. And we don't have any time to get into this discussion, but talking about Harvard beating New Mexico, and I think I was bringing Gene up to speed on this. I don't think that it's just Steve Alford. I think the fact is, quite simply, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, they're lowering their academic standards or their academic index to allow people who can play basketball, we'll leave it at that, in, because they can't get the grades to get into Harvard, so they got to lower it so they can get.
When it comes to that, I completely digress before that comes at all sounding like anything other than that statement. I completely digress. Gene, you can touch that if you want.
Yeah, Tom, you are unreal. You have jumped the shark so completely now. That, listen, here's the deal. You know what? New Mexico can go out and smack themselves in the face because, number one, they're not smarter than those kids, and now they know they're not better at sports than them either. Oh, my goodness. Well, so you're telling me that when Northwestern State, with all their dummies, beat Iowa when they were a 3, that was because of those academic standards too? Or the fact that the number 3 New Mexico team lost the other year when they were against the 14? Or how about when Steve Alford took his Cincinnati a 7 and got absolutely horrified in the biggity-biggity nap several years ago? How about every time that Steve Alford has parlayed a stupid Sweet 16 run into a decade of futility, and he's a jerk on top of it? Tom, you must stop with this propaganda and start understanding that your boy Steve Alford wasn't even hired by Hoosier.
I agree with you. I want you to get into that. Hey, Gene, did you hear about Baylor's new football uniform? On that note, think about that as we zip on over to the Sweet 16. I'm just trying to make a bridge in between conversations. Baylor's got new football uniforms. All right, guys, Sweet 16, Louisville, Colorado State. Guys, can Colorado State, and we don't have a lot of time to break down these games, but can Colorado State stop Louisville? Yes or no?
The prophet, as I have been so far in this tournament, I'm going to give it to you guys again. And so far, I'm 4-for-4 on these big picks. Colorado State, enjoy knocking off Louisville tomorrow.
We're going to take his nickname away from $2 Bill Josh and call him Six Shooter Josh. Gene, we're going to go on down the list here. Oregon, St. Louis. Does St. Louis stay alive against Highlighter Shoes?
Affirmative. Go Billikens.
All right. Yeah. Moving on down, Josh. Memphis, Michigan State with their funky Spartan sock.
Michigan State's going to win it. They always win when you count them out.
All right. Creighton and Duke. Does Coach K get a win number 81?
I am squarely rooting for Creighton, but I got Duke winning this game.
And then we move on over to Sunday's games that we know for a fact is guys, tell me on IU plays on Sunday.
IU plays Temple, and I have IU winning that game, but barely. And it's going to come down to a Yogi three-pointer.
And does Butler play tomorrow or Sunday?
Butler and Marquette, as we were talking about this, we don't have time to get into it. They hate each other, and they're going to have a brawl tomorrow. I think it's scheduled for around 3 in the afternoon. There's going to be at least 6 guys fouled out of that ball game.
Technical foul city. They're going to win it on Tech. They're going to win it on Tech. Guys, well, we got to jump into the jungle. Gene, you're on deck. Go ahead. You got 30 seconds. Rant about whatever. Whatever.
It is all coming to fruition, folks. The Big Ten did not get the respect that the Big East got and the Big East didn't deserve it. As Notre Dame says goodbye tonight, and we whittle ourselves down to the only good teams left in the Big East, Louisville and Syracuse, I just ask the Midwest media, grow a backbone, you background noise fillers, and start being the nuisance to that committee that the Big East media would have been, only getting 7 teams in. Horrific.
All right, Gene. Now, Josh, hurry up, 30 seconds.
If you want to talk controversy, you want an interesting debate, follow me on Twitter at @QBillJosh, and I also, media, me, Tom, and Gene cannot do this ourselves. Go a backbone and stand up with us, and it starts with you, Dockage.
Let's start the revolution, guys. Indy Pro Sports as well. And check us out here on T-Balance on Twitter, Facebook, The Balance. Guys, it's March Madness. People are going to get a lot madder. We're going to see who's going to be the number one seed to go home. I don't think we're going to have a Final Four of number one seeds, guys. Stick it right here, guys, because we are going to definitely keep you updated throughout the weekend. And as we move toward Atlanta, we are definitely going to keep you updated, guys. That's it. Remember, when you're celebrating your team's win, guys, do it with some coup. No burning tires or turning over cars and all of that stuff as we get closer to the national championships. Be cool, guys. Make it fun. Make it sport. And don't drink and drive, guys, because that definitely is it cool. We're going to see you guys next Saturday. Thanks for hanging out with us today. My name's Sean Marquis. We're out of here.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.